Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, 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 Georgia.
Now here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49+. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow.
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC championship winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Flea flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame. For your next mistake, I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Your cornballs get stolen.
Welcome to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at Fromm Jake, puntandpass.com. The number one destination for all things college football. All right, it's Thursday evening. We are recording this. This is holiday week in the United States of America. Nobody knows what day it is. Hardly anybody's working. I was kind of out and about all day today, Jake. Hardly anybody on the road. I did have a lunch meeting today. We sat around for quite some time. We just enjoyed the company that we had. So here we are. New Year's Eve is coming up on Sunday. New Year's Day is on Monday. So 2024, right around the corner. Happy New Year to you, brother.
Yeah, man. Happy early New Year to you as well. 2023 coming to an end.
Yeah.
Man, just it happens fast. And the ending of football season happens fast as well. Bowl season wrapping up for these college guys. And NFL season kind of turning that page, wrapping up, getting ready for playoffs. So, man, it happens fast. Just got to slow down and try to enjoy the moment.
No question. And bowl season now in full swing. You woke up this morning. You had 11 a.m. action in the Fenway Wasabi Bowl. I mean, that was crazy. Inside Fenway Stadium or Fenway Park in Boston. Then the Pinstripe Bowl right after that inside Yankee Stadium. The weather in the Northeast was horrible. Not sure if you watched any of those games. But the Pop-Tarts Bowl is finishing up right now as we're recording. And then tonight, I think it's one of the best games of bowl season. It's the Alamo Bowl. And that's Arizona against Oklahoma. So as we're wrapping up, that'll be a good one to tune into. And then tomorrow, things really get moving on a Friday. We've got a full slate of action, parlaying that into, of course, Saturday when the Dogs play, New Year's Six games kick off, and then, of course, Monday, the college football playoff. Where else would you rather be than on your Prize Picks app when watching all of these amazing college football games? This episode of Punt and Pass is presented to you by our amazing partners over at Prize Picks. And guess what? You can still download the Prize Picks app right now. Use the promo code PUNT and you get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. It's as simple as that. Download the app, use the promo code PUNT, deposit $100. Prize Picks will give you $100. How does it work? You pick 2 to 6 players, and if they go more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25x your entry. It is awesome. You can do cross-sport entries, NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, NASCAR. They have it all. It's the best. That's why they are the top-ranked sports app in the Apple App Store. Don't believe me? Go check it out. Prize Picks is ranked number one. I believe ESPN is ranked number two. That's how much they are crushing it. So shout out to Prize Picks, longtime presenting sponsor of the Punt and Pass Podcast, founded by a Georgia grad, Adam Wexler. Big Daddy Wex is the man. Prize Picks is the best skill-based fantasy game on the market. Download it right now. Use the promo code PUNT. Make 2024 a profitable one. There is no place better than Prize Picks. All right, anything before we just start jumping into these games, Jake? I mean, have you been watching any of this college football? Or you're obviously busy. You're a busy guy. I mean, the NFL never stops. You're at practice. You're doing your thing. I'm just sitting on my couch. I'm, like, looking for things to do, but football's always on. So it's – bowl season has definitely taken a step back with the opt-outs, with the transfers. You don't even know what the hell's going on. I mean, I just saw Ohio State's quarterback in the Cotton Bowl tomorrow night. It's their – second string quarterback, he's going to wear number 33 at the quarterback position. That's his number, wow. Number 33, which will be interesting. So I don't know. It's just, you turn on the TV, you just don't know what to expect.
Yeah. It's kind of an interesting, just way to start. Like when it comes to all these bowl games, like you're more likely to hear about an opt-in than an opt-out, right?
Yeah.
Like just opt-outs are basically just expected at this point. And it's honestly, yeah, kind of sad. Makes it a little bit less fun to watch. I think all the fans would agree that it's fun watching the best players play ball. So obviously we understand reasons, you know, don't necessarily want to get into all that, but
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, whatever the reasons are, understand, you know, if you're not really playing in a huge bowl game, I get it, but, man, it's fun when you get to watch the, good players ball. How about the USC's backup quarterback who comes in?
Wow. That was impressive.
Caleb Williams throws 6 touchdowns. So that's, you know, you get to see all these cool stories and man, college football is still going to college football, right? Stuff's going to happen. Chaos is going to happen. And that's why we keep coming back for more.
You bring up a great point about the USC quarterback. I mean, all the discussion has been obviously since Caleb Williams leaving and the presumptuous number one overall pick in the NFL draft is that Lincoln Riley is going to go shopping in the portal. And this kid comes out highly recruited. Of course, he's at USC and he throws 6 touchdowns. He was dropping dimes last night. Great to see that happen. I mean, that's what bowl season is about. Proving a point, saying I'm the guy, I'm going to take advantage of my opportunity. So we'll see what Lincoln Riley does. But I'm sure you watched some of that game last night. I mean, that guy was dealing.
Yeah, no, dealing, man. Anytime you end up with 6 touchdowns, it doesn't matter. That's a great game. You're up there too. I think he set a school record too. So how about that, man? Just kind of that's quick. Getting rid of Caleb Williams and hey, on to the new. That's college football for you.
No question about it. A little news to talk about. Brock Bowers and Amarius Mims were not seen getting off the plane as the Dogs traveled down to Miami for the Orange Bowl. I think that was pretty expected. I mean, mum was the word as to whether they'll be with the team, whether they are still with the team. Obviously, those are two guys who were projected to be high first-round draft picks. But I don't know if you saw this. Some draft pundit or NFL draft guy on Twitter, he tweeted out, hey, really love Brock Bowers, think he's going to be a great NFL quarterback, but I don't like how UGA utilized him. And Todd Hartley, the tight ends coach at Georgia, tweeted back at him and said, what? Question mark. Like, what are you talking about? This dude, 3-time first-team All-American, back-to-back Mackey Award winner, when he was on the field, completely dominant. I don't even know where guys get off to make that sort of statement, but I did love Todd Hartley jumping in the fray and being like, dude, what are you talking about? His position coach being like, explain this to me. And of course the guy did not.
Yeah, absolutely love that from Coach Hartley. Nothing makes you feel better as a player when your coach is quick and goes straight to bat for you. Makes you feel great as a player. And then two, it's 100% true. Like they gave this dude jet sweeps. They threw him screens.
Everything.
Threw it deep. You know, gave him slants. Gave him option routes. I mean, anything you could do with a guy, they did. And not that he's. I mean, this is a tight end body we're talking about. Like he's a football player, and he's just able to make football plays, and that's why they just kept feeding him the rock.
No doubt. I don't know if I said this to you a couple of weeks ago, but there were some mock drafts. Of course, everybody does the mock drafts, but the Cincinnati Bengals need a tight end badly. And if they were able to position themselves, I don't know, around that 10 to 15 range and get a guy like Brock Bowers and put him in that offense with a Joe Burrow, with a Joe Mixon, if they can keep Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, that offensive line is okay. That's a spot where he could make a real, real impact in his rookie season.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. That's a great spot. You know, I think Brock's going to fit in well to any system that he goes in, but I think that he could really flourish in the right system. So it's going to be very interesting to see kind of where he ends up. And honestly, like if I'm Brock, I wouldn't mind sliding, so to speak, to go to the right system in the right scheme. Cause it'll just pay off for him later in his career.
100%. Were you at Georgia ever with Todd Hartley? Did he get there a little bit after you? Okay. So, T. Hart's the man. He was a grad assistant when I was in school, a student assistant even when I was in school. So he helped out with the special teams. Of course, he was a special teams coordinator at University of Miami and a tight ends coach for Coach Rick down there. But T. Hart used to clock my punts, man, in special teams period. So
I'm about to one-up you on the Todd Hartley story. Coach Hartley gave me my first college scholarship offer when he was at Marshall.
So, really?
Yeah, got to know him well from that. He always talked about, you know, his middle Georgia ties back to Jones County.
Yep.
And, yeah, man, funny. So we built a relationship there, and all of a sudden he shows up, and now he's the tight ends coach. So
great guy. Great family. So cool to see him just, you know, climb the ladder and succeed in a big, big way. That's one of the guys to watch as everybody kind of proliferates the Kirby Smart coaching tree. Todd Hartley's a name that will certainly continue to climb, whether it's offensive coordinator next or who knows, but he is on the up and up for sure. All right, let's dive into these bowl games. We'll start with Friday night. It's the Cotton Bowl. We'll go through these New Year's Six bowls. We'll finish up, of course, with the college football playoff semifinal games. Before that, we'll fit in the Georgia Florida State Orange Bowl, which is just, I don't even know what to say about this game. The line opened at 13.5, the Georgia Orange Bowl. Now it's up to 20. So we'll get to that in just a second. But tomorrow night, I think this is going to be a fantastic game. Number 9, Missouri, taking on number 7, Ohio State, 8 p.m. in the Cotton Bowl. Right now, Ohio State, a 3.5-point favorite, which is kind of head-scratching to me. The total sits at 48.5 points. Of course, no Marvin Harrison Jr., no Kyle McCord for Ohio State as he has entered the transfer portal and he's going to Syracuse. So Ohio State quarterback Devin Brown will be under center for his first career start. He wears number 33 in honor of Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback Sammy Baugh, who finished his college career sharing MVP honors in the inaugural Cotton Bowl 87 years ago. How about that? Oh, a little interesting tidbit right there. I think Missouri is 100% the way to go in this game. This is like their Super Bowl. This is Missouri's Super Bowl. They had a great season, highly competitive against some of the best teams in the nation. They're getting to go to a New Year's Six Bowl. I think that's a pretty easy drive, so to speak, from Columbia down to Dallas. This will be a pretty good one. And Cody Schrader, that running back, total stud.
Yeah, no, I like Missouri too, man. And this one, just like you mentioned it, they just have more to play for. Like to me, all these bowl games, hey, forget records. Obviously, you do have to look at who's playing, but you got to think about, like, what are they playing for? What's the motivation behind this game? And Missouri, to me, has got it. Like, they have that. I'm going to go way back here to when UCF played Auburn in a bowl, UCF beat Auburn, ended up undefeated, and claimed, you know, that they were, you know, co-national champions. Not necessarily to that degree, but almost. Like, this is a great tip of the cap to a great season. And what better way than to finish it off by beating Ohio State?
No question. It just means more, as some say, in the SEC. It's still unsure if Marvin Harrison Jr. will play. The official announcement has not been made. Ryan Day was asked about it today. Day said he can't answer that question for Harrison or any other players. Quote, I feel like these decisions are ones that players make along with their families, so I never want to be the one to go and put it out there. I think it'd be pretty shocking to see a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr., who's probably a top 5 pick in the NFL draft, suit up. Missouri's defense, they forced 35 sacks. They led the SEC with a +9 turnover margin, 18 takeaways, and 9 giveaways. And, you know, what's interesting about Ohio State is that their defense is really what carried them all season long. They only allowed 260 total yards per game. That ranked 3rd. Nationally. So maybe take a look at the under here, 48.5. I just feel like in Dallas, that's a fast track. You know, these coaches, they're going to throw everything out there. I think this will be a really fun game to watch. And I like Mizzou. I think Brady Cook, Cody Schrader, Luther Burden, they're going to go out there and be playing with their hair on fire. And I would have to think the Ohio State fan base, who is so used to playing in college football playoffs, this is certainly a step down in their travel budget for sure.
Yeah, no, I definitely think so. I love the undertake. I think it's going to be a gritty defensive game as well. Like, don't be surprised, man, when it's low scoring and whoever has the ball last wins.
All right. All right. Cotton Bowl is going to be a fun one to watch Friday, 8 p.m. Saturday, a couple of good games. I think the one in Atlanta is going to be an awesome game. It's the Peach Bowl. Kickoff is at noon. Number 11 Ole Miss against number 10 Penn State. Again, a surprising line to me. Penn State's a 4.5-point favorite. The total, 48.5, same as the Cotton Bowl. Not a lot of opt-outs in these games. Two teams that want to prove it. Ole Miss is going for their 11th win. Penn State, James Franklin not being able to beat the Boogeyman, which is, of course, a really good top-ranked team. Big Ten versus SEC, the same as the Cotton Bowl. I like this matchup, and call me an SEC homer, say I'm biased. I like Ole Miss here. I think, again, they have something to prove. They're crushing it in the transfer portal. With this much time to prepare, I think Lane Kiffin can kind of flex his offensive play-calling muscles. This would be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, I like your take on they're winning in the portal right now. They got some momentum going on in Oxford. Noon game, whoever obviously starts fast. But I like this game because I'm going to see a really good offense in Ole Miss play a really, really good and underrated defense in Penn State. It's like, yeah, Penn State's defense is up there in the top five in a lot of defensive categories. So going to kind of see those two sides of the ball just basically have a heavyweight boxing match, and I think it'll be fun to watch. But I do like Ole Miss in this one. Call me an SEC guy too. I don't care. I think it means more.
No question. Keep in mind, Penn State lost defensive coordinator Manny Diaz, who was hired as Duke's head coach on December 7th. They did hire former Indiana head coach Tom Allen to be their D coordinator, but assistants Anthony Poindexter and Rob Smith will be leading the defense in the bowl game while Tom Allen observes. So a little bit different game day atmosphere. Some guys are going to be calling the defense that haven't been necessarily in that position. I think that opens up a great opportunity for Jackson Dart and Quinshon Judkins to really have a day in Atlanta. You would have to think the Ole Miss Rebel fans will completely take over Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but that's not to say that Penn State's not going to travel. I mean, they have a gigantic fan base as well, and this is a big bowl game for Penn State. This is a bowl game that will feel like the bowl games of old. I mean, last night, this is Thursday night we're recording this, I'm watching the Holiday Bowl, which was Louisville-USC. You know, Caleb Williams isn't there. It's kind of like, I'm trying to get into the game. When I was growing up, I felt like the Holiday Bowl was just one of those games where you were like, oh, this is awesome. It's out in San Diego. You got two top 25 teams. Like, guys were playing to win the game. You just don't get that feeling anymore. I feel like I'm an old guy with gray hair saying that, but you just don't get that feeling anymore.
Yeah, you kind of have to, in my opinion, just wait around until those New Year's Six bowls start creeping up, and then you got some teams you would hope and think that they're fighting and playing for something, playing for a little bit of pride for the name on the front and on the back of the jersey. So hopefully that turns around and we get to see some really good football games coming up.
Ole Miss's offense ranks 15th in the nation with an average of 455 yards per game. And Jake mentioned that Penn State defense, they lead the nation in total defense, only allowing 223 yards per game. They rank third with their average of just 11.4 points allowed per game. But the Big Ten's trash. I mean, like, do not get it twisted. The Big Ten offenses are horrific. So best on best there. I think with the time to prepare, Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin should be able to take care of business in that one. For sure. All right, before we get to the Orange Bowl, let's skip ahead to Monday at 1 p.m. It's the Fiesta Bowl. We don't have to touch too much on this one. Number 23, Liberty, the representative out of the group of five, is taking on number 8, Oregon, who was sniffing a college football playoff berth and dropped the ball against Washington in the Pac-12 championship game. Oregon's a 17-point favorite. The total here is 67.5 points. So that's an 11 a.m. Local kick out there in Phoenix. Dan Lanning, Bo Nix, but I'm assuming Bo Nix is going to play, right? Is he going to play? Dude, let's check that.
Honestly, that was my next question because that predicates everything. I mean, the line's
17.
Ooh. So you would think that would indicate. I mean, and Bo still has a lot to prove. I mean, there's draft status to improve on. I think we know who the 1 and 2 quarterbacks are, and It's a big question mark on who the third quarterback taken will probably be in this draft. So like maybe there's some incentive there from his camp to want to play in this game. You're playing Liberty, so it's not like you're going to play Michigan or Alabama or Georgia. So that's kind of plays in your favor a little bit. So go out there and play and go 20 for 20 and 400 yards and four touchdowns.
Get off the field.
Get off the field and call it a day. So
Liberty allowed 30 points to Louisiana Tech, 25 points to UMass, 28 points to UTEP, and 35 points to New Mexico State. Can you game plan? Can Dan Lanning and that offensive staff tell Bo Nix, hey, we're going to put a game plan together where we're going to get the ball out of your hands. You're going to be in shotgun. You're going to be out there slinging it. Hopefully you never get touched. Can that happen to make a quarterback feel more comfortable?
Yeah. I mean, it happened to Stetson in a college football playoff game. And yeah. And then, I mean, honestly, that's what they've been doing the entire year at Oregon. They've been dinking and dunking, getting the ball out and then lull you to sleep, throw it over the top. But that's what their offense has been. So maybe we'll just see more of the same. And I don't think they have to reinvent the wheel at all for this game and to be able to score points, because it's not like Liberty's defense has had that much success this year.
Look, it says right here he traveled with the team and they're expecting him to play. I think the line kind of says that, as you just alluded to. And Oregon definitely wants to kind of bounce back, have a good end of their season after they lost to Washington twice. So Fiesta Bowl, look, it's New Year's Day. It's 1 p.m. That will definitely be in the TV rotation. All right, let's keep things moving. We'll bounce back to Saturday, 4 p.m. in the Orange Bowl. With what could have been easily considered a college football playoff semifinal game, I don't know, in the third to last week of the season, Georgia and Florida State, this game has just, it's like you want the sad trombone when you mention the Orange Bowl. Wah, wah. Number 6, Georgia. Number 5, Florida State. Florida State rolling out a complete skeleton crew on the field. I feel bad for Mike Norvell. I honestly feel bad for Mike Norvell and Florida State fans everywhere. If this matchup was the Sugar Bowl and it was number 1 versus number 4, which it easily could have been.
Yeah.
Which it easily could have been. This would have been all-time matchup. Last time these two teams played was in the Sugar Bowl. Back in 2003, this line has steamed way towards Georgia. Georgia is now a 20-point favorite with the news of Keon Coleman sitting out, Johnny Wilson sitting out, Trey Benson sitting out, Jared Verse, their defensive lineman who leads a team in pass rushing, sitting out. Tate Rodemaker, their backup quarterback, he's in the transfer portal. So now they're going to their third stringer, Brock Glenn. I don't know. I mean, tell me where we should go to start previewing this game. Florida State is the first undefeated Power 5 conference champion not to make the college football playoff. They are without all of their playmakers, essentially. And I hate to say it, but Georgia and Kirby Smart, they feel disrespected for not even being considered for the college football playoff.
If you would have asked, like, week 9, like, would the Orange Bowl be absolutely juiced to host Georgia and Florida State in it? You would have said, absolutely. Next week, Jordan Travis gets hurt, and kind of the rest is history really there for the Florida State team. Georgia takes a tough loss in the SEC championship game. They end up in the Orange Bowl. I mean, it was setting up to be great. Like, how did they end up with this matchup? This has got to be awesome. And then, man, just a roller coaster ride, and you just went off the deep end and nobody's playing in it. I mean, I think this could get ugly.
Yeah.
Get bloody. I mean, this could get bad early and fast and just be bad. I feel bad for the Florida head coach or Florida State head coach. I mean, this is rough. I don't know how you corral 85 scholarship guys to say, hey, let's find a way to get through this.
You know, and Brock Glenn, the third string quarterback, he makes a statement. Of course, media availability, I want you to speak to this during bowl week. What's that like? But he says something like, I feel like we're pretty evenly matched. I mean, what else do you want him to say?
Yeah,
right? Like he's got to say he's leading the team. He's not going to be like, yeah, I think we're going to get drubbed by 40. Georgia's really good. We're not having any of our playmakers. It's going to suck out there. He has to say these things. So give the guy a little grace when he's out there just taking fire from the media. But speak about media availability during bowl week, because all the offensive and defensive coaches talk to the media. The media availability is much different during practice. You're out and about doing your bowl activities. The media is there shoving microphones in your face. As the starting quarterback, what is that like, and how is it different from a regular conference game during the season?
A lot more questions, and there's some, I don't know how to say it, but you can see the other side. There's some ending to a lot of what's going on. You can kind of see and look back, and there are some more perspective, I would say, on a lot of questions. But you're just available a lot more. Questions get hit harder. You know, you're only playing in one more game, so you can be a little bit more prompt and a little more straight up, maybe. For him in that situation, what else are you going to say? You got to say we're going to go out and compete. And other than that, I don't know what else I would say. But, hey, we're going to go out, we're going to compete for four quarters, and we're giving
trust
our best
my
shot.
Guys. Yeah. Love this team. Love my coaches. We're going to go try to make it happen. For some reason, I feel like there is a mutual respect between these two coaches.
Yep.
There is an understanding of the situation at hand. I could see this game 24-0 at half. Georgia scores a touchdown getting the ball after halftime. It's 31-0. And then you take Carson Beck out. You take all your starters out. You kind of start running the ball. Maybe Florida State gets a late touchdown, 31-7. I don't think it's a 55-0 game. I don't think Kirby's going to go out there and just completely dial up crazy play calls and just take shots and bury Florida State into the ground. I see this more as they'll know what's coming on the defense side of the ball, meaning Georgia's defense with who they have to defend against will be like, keep everything in front of us. Let's just go tackle. Don't give up any big plays. Florida State won't be able to get much going on offense. Georgia should be able to do what they want and really control the game from an offensive perspective. Don't turn the ball over. No stupid mistakes on special teams. And it will just be one of those classic, controllable Georgia games. I lean towards the under. I'd probably lay the 20 points. I just think Kirby's going to be like, look, man, shake my hand after the game. Best of luck next season. Y'all got screwed. We got screwed. Let's go on and enjoy the offseason.
Yeah, I see the logic there, and that could very well be the most probable outcome.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think Kirby wants to send a message.
You think so?
I think so.
All right. Well, obviously, we'll all be tuned in. Again, I'm not sure what the crowd will look like. You know, obviously, Florida State, this game is in Miami, so there's plenty of alumni down in that area. I don't know if many people who are traveling down to South Beach ahead of the New Year's holiday, but you know what could have been. Remember when I told you a couple weeks ago, like if I gave these statistics to you before Georgia played Alabama, hey, Alabama doesn't score first, Georgia goes down and scores in response, Georgia scores 14 points in the fourth quarter, you know, all those things. Yeah. I heard today and I just kind of passed my mind. Georgia held Alabama to 3 of 13 on third downs in that game, and they still lost. It's crazy.
Yeah. Just
3 of 13, dude. I mean, you win that game.
The game comes down to a handful of plays every single time. And they made a few more plays.
Maybe they got mistakes. Yeah.
They got a few more calls.
Missed that field goal, had that turnover inside their own 10. Like that's it.
Didn't review the corner route catch.
So corner route catch, play one. Next play is the touchdown. You can call that play two. False start on the field goal initially, backed him up 5, missed it. Just call that play 3. The fumble inside the 10-yard line, call that play 4. Then pick your poison on play 5, but 5 plays to determine the outcome of the game. Yep. And obviously we're cherry picking, and those are memorable, but it's just crazy. You lose that game in that fashion by 3 points, and they just throw you to number 6. So that would make me lean more towards your line of thinking if Kirby wants to prove something. A couple stats here. Georgia's 8-2 against the spread in their last 10 games following a close loss of 3 points or less. So obviously that just happened, 3 points or less in the SEC championship game. Georgia's also 9-1 to the under in their last 10 games with more than 13 days of rest. So Georgia covers, take the under. There are your two statistical things. I'm excited to kind of recap this game with you on Tuesday, yeah, whenever we do the pod next week, because I'm going to watch it. I'm sure you'll watch it. I'll just be really interested. You've been in these situations. You played in two of these bowl games where you're outside the college football playoff. I want to know, is it what you expected? Is it kind of what you went through? Because you were part of that Texas Sugar Bowl, and then you were part of that Baylor Sugar Bowl, where you kind of corrected maybe what the outsiders thought was going on. So I think we're both on the same side. Take the Dogs, big time.
Nice. Yeah, always take the Dogs. That's a good way to go.
All right, let's keep it moving. Moving on to the college football playoff semifinals. And we're starting at the Rose Bowl. Number 4 Alabama against number 1 Michigan. This game is at 5 p.m. on Sunday. And currently the line sits as is. Michigan is now a 2-point favorite. So the line is moving towards Michigan, which is shocking to me. The total is 44.5. Look, you give me Alabama and points with this much time to prepare, and a Michigan team who has not been able to prove it in the college football playoff, especially against an SEC opponent. You think about the Orange Bowl a couple years ago, and I'd be like, yeah, Alabama's a no-brainer. But now I'm starting to see, and all I'm hearing, I'm insulated, I'm obviously here in Atlanta, I follow a lot of SEC personalities, Jake. All I'm hearing is how Alabama's going to win this game. All I'm hearing is how I love Alabama. Alabama's a no-brainer. But then when I see today that the line has moved to 0.5 in Michigan's favor, I think to myself, there are smarter people with more money than me who are making the line move towards Michigan, which means they like Michigan. I don't know what to think now. I was heavy Alabama when we fired up this podcast. As I'm researching while we're recording, I'm thinking to myself, am I outsmarting myself? Do I need to go to the dark side? I don't know. Talk to me.
The way I'm looking at this game, I see Michigan as the more consistent beast in this game. I see Alabama as a juggernaut. Like, they can show up and they could be the best team in the country, or they can show up and be the team that should have lost to Auburn in rivalry week. I don't know what Alabama team's going to show up. I know Nick Saban has had multiple weeks to prepare for this game. Usually that's a good sign for Alabama, and usually they get the better end of people when that takes place. So I'm leaning that way as well. But also, we talk about motivation, it meaning more. I mean, nobody has more motivation to me than Michigan, right? They their back's against the wall. They have to come out swinging and have to prove it to the world. Otherwise, nobody's going to take them seriously anymore. Like, they have to do this.
This is why they had their quote-unquote beat Georgia period all season long during practice.
Yeah.
And I'm reading off of vsin.com. Don't forget, people, Michigan's undefeated, Big Ten champs. Say what you want about the Big Ten. J.J. McCarthy, their quarterback, and Blake Corum, their running back, they're no slouches. I mean, these are some of the best players in the country at their position. But then you go to the flip side and say Nick Saban, 28 days to prepare. You know, he's been in this situation so many times. And like you're saying, Jake, nobody has more to prove than Michigan. And not only that, but it was probably expected that they were going to play a number 4 Florida State and be a 2-touchdown favorite. And the craziness happens during conference championship weekend. And as you're watching Selection Sunday, it's like, oh, congratulations, number 1 ranked team, undefeated. You get to play Alabama, who seems to be catching fire just in the nick of time.
I agree. They just beat the best team in the country. They got a lot of swagger, a lot of momentum from that. They think that they're obviously a great football team. And so I'm leaning towards the Alabama side just because I don't think Michigan can do it. I think they will succumb to the pressure. It'll be too much for them. And I think it'll just fizzle out. I think they will need offensively, they'll get put in a hole, and they'll have to go one or two ways, whether they just say, hey, we're going to commit to what we do, and hopefully we can score before, obviously, the game clock runs out, or they're going to change their offensive identity and try to go score more in more of a two-minute mode.
Yeah.
And I think they'll get out of sync and not be themselves.
couple of things are happening in the media as well. Obviously, they're out in Pasadena. They're in L.A. Tons of media availability, as we just discussed. One thing was that somebody asked Jalen Milroe about, hey, you're such a dynamic athlete. Has anybody ever told you that you shouldn't be a quarterback, that maybe you should explore being at another position? And he says very candidly, our last offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien, actually told me that when he was the OC here at school. He said, you should look at playing another position. That was interesting. There's probably a couple of reasons why Bill O'Brien is no longer the offensive coordinator at Alabama. I'm sure things like that get said a lot. And look, Nick Saban benched Jalen Milroe after they lost to Texas. It's not like he's the greatest quarterback ever, and he was told not to play quarterback. I think that was a coach who probably saw how good of an athlete he was and was like, hey, you might be able to find more playing time at a different position.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all about betting on yourself and believing that, hey, if this is something that I want to do and you go all out and try to make that whatever that thing happen, I think, man, with enough work and, you know, God bless you in the right time that, hey, you can make it happen. But it's funny that you mentioned, I mean, he did get benched during the season. He doesn't deserve the Heisman Trophy, you know, for his efforts this season, but he's a really, really good football player.
Of course.
And when they put him in the right positions to succeed and run the right plays, and it's, hey, look here, or take off and run. Hey, that dude can do it now. He's the best athlete on the field, and he will continue to grow as a passer. I don't think he's there yet by any means. But if he can ever figure it out and really take some strides on improving as a passer, I think, man, he'll be a dangerous player.
No question about it. And you pair the confidence that he's playing with right now.
Oh, yeah.
And the play calling that's happening with him being so confident, it's dangerous. And that's exactly what he has proven throughout the last few weeks of the season. On the flip side, Jim Harbaugh was asked about Jalen Milroe, and he said, quote, he's a more polished Alex Orgy. Orgy is the backup quarterback at Michigan, so Alabama's fan base runs with it on social media. I can't believe Michigan is – Jim Harbaugh is comparing them to a backup quarterback who don't even play. It's like I see that as Jim Harbaugh watching what he sees on tape saying, we've got a guy just like this, right? Like probably trying to pump up his own guy, giving him props by saying, I think a lot of Alex Orgy. Jalen Milroe's more polished. It's not like he's saying he's less polished than our backup quarterback. I don't know. It's like you have such a long time in between these bowl games. People are just looking for something to talk about.
Yeah, they're nitpicking. They're looking for something. Any little last bit and piece of motivation to get guys to take it to the next level. Whatever it is, they're going to try and find it. That's what it kind of comes down to, these late in the year bowl games, when you have millions and millions of hours to just prepare for these games.
Got some good stats here. First off, Michigan's defense only allows 9.5 points per game. They have the sixth-ranked rushing defense in the country as well. They only allow 87 rushing yards per game. Keep in mind, Georgia held Jalen Milroe to just 29 rushing yards. We'll be interested to see how Michigan schemes that up. Michigan is 1-7-2 against the spread in their last 10 bowl games. They do not play well in bowl games. Alabama is 8-2 against the spread versus their last 10 Big Ten opponents. So they feast on the Big Ten.
They do.
And something that you and I have talked about over the last couple of weeks, since Connor Stallions has not been a part of Michigan football, J.J. McCarthy, who had 17 total touchdowns while Stallions was on staff this year, he's only had one total touchdown in the last five games of the regular season.
I'm sure there may have been some phone calls reaching out. Old Coach Stallions.
Come on. You do not get rich fading Alabama. I got to go with Alabama here. Give me the points. Give me 2 points. We'll see what happens before kickoff. It'll be a really good game. What's your thought on the total 44.5? Do you think it's a 20-10 game? Do you think Michigan could find some spark and move the ball? Like, what's your score prediction, I guess?
I would be surprised if Michigan scores more than 20 points, I think they can win the game. But if they don't score 20 points, I think Alabama wins the game. Like, yeah. 24-20 Bama isn't like, I think that's a very believable score. 21-24 Bama, Michigan 17. I think they're going to be in that 14-20 range.
Okay.
I could be a little bit more specific and say 17-20, but
yeah,
I think that high low for Michigan winning this game is whether or not they score 20 points.
Yeah, and again, going back to the SEC championship game, I said the inflection point for Georgia was 30, and it has been under Kirby Smart. If he holds teams to under 30 points, they usually win the game. And Georgia held Alabama to 27, and they still lost. So I agree with you. I think, and I'll tell before we move on to the Sugar Bowl and wrap this up, it just came out. It's on YouTube. You can go watch it. A Football Life, which is an unbelievable docuseries on NFL Network. They just released their documentary on Nick Saban, and it's phenomenal. I mean, this guy is maniacal in his preparation, his process that he just always talks about, the process. He kept saying, outcomes are the biggest distraction. Outcomes are the biggest distraction. And his wife, Miss Terry, you know, she's been around him for so long, Jake. She talks like him. Like, she has been trained on how to talk. She's like, we don't worry about the outcomes. All we worry about is the process, to know that when Saturday comes around, we're the most prepared. The outcomes will take care of themselves. And it's funny because when something happens like 4th and 31 and they win on this miracle play against Auburn, you know, everybody's going crazy. And of course they're celebrating. But when the sideline reporter from CBS puts the microphone in Nick Saban's face, the first thing he says is, we practiced this. Like we practiced 4th and 31, last play of the game. What are we going to do? That is a part of the process. It takes you all the way through when he first started coaching to then leaving the Miami Dolphins and going to Alabama, interviews his family, his kids. It's great. Say what you want about Saban. He's the greatest college coach of all time. And whatever his process is, bottle that thing up and utilize it, much like Kirby Smart's done.
Oh, yeah. He's been the best at the process. Best in the business. There's so much to learn from him, and I'll have to watch it and check it out.
No question about it. All right, so we both like Alabama there.
Yeah.
Moving on, finally, the All-State Sugar Bowl. It's at 8:45 p.m. Monday night to decide who plays the winner of Alabama-Michigan. It's number 3 Texas against number 2 Washington. I always feel like the Sugar Bowl is the longest game in the history of college football. You played in 2 of them. It's always late on New Year's Day. It is such a long damn game. This game probably won't start until 9:15. It will end around 1 a.m. It is brutal. It is so long. I don't know if it's because of the commercials they need to sell or just the slot that it's in. Besides that, Texas is a 4-point favorite. The total is 63.5. That's really high. 2 high-powered offenses. Obviously, Washington's undefeated. Texas has 1 loss. This should be a great game. I'm fired up to watch this one. 2 awesome quarterbacks, too, Quinn Ewers and Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a really good football game. I'm excited to watch it. Hopefully, maybe I can stay up the entire time.
No chance. There's no chance
you'll be staying up. It's a long game, and like Drew said, it is absolutely brutal. I mean, I remember playing in it and just, hey, I can do it. I can stay awake. I can get up
playing
for this.
In it. It's like this, this is the longest game ever. Yeah.
Oh yeah. If you don't make yourself take a nap from noon until 2 o'clock, you're done. You're toast. You'll be wiped out and out of gas. So got to get Millie prepared for this game. Both these guys on their respective teams, but I like Texas in this matchup.
Do you?
Because what put Texas over the top when they played Alabama was they won the trenches. They were better up front defense, and they protected the quarterback on offense. And I think that's going to be the differentiator in this game. Washington, I don't know enough of the Pac-12. I just know they don't have dudes like that in the trenches. Texas has the dudes right now that Alabama and Georgia has. And I think they're going to take over this game, take over it with a physicality that I don't think Washington's seen yet.
See, I like Washington in this game. I don't know. I'm seeing this game very clearly, and take that for what you will. I've been ice cold all bowl season. I see Washington as a team that's just continued to get it done week after week after week. The second half of the season, Washington's going to lose. Nope, they win. Washington's going to lose. Nope, they win. Washington's going to get smoked by Oregon in the Pac-12 championship. Nope, they come out and they win. One, I think that comes down to great coaching. Two, they have unbelievable playmakers on offense. Michael Penix Jr., you know, Heisman finalist. Rome Odunze, he will be the X factor in this game. A certified baller. This guy will play on Sundays. He is a stud. Jalen McMillan is also another stud at the wide receiver position. They had two wideouts go for over 1,000 yards. Jalen Polk, Jalen McMillan was right behind him. He was injured for the first half of the season. Then Rome Odunze, 81 catches, almost 1,500 yards, and 13 touchdowns. I just see that, and I'll say this. You mentioned the trenches. Texas has the fourth-ranked rushing defense in the nation. Like, they have some dudes inside. Washington's not going to try to run the ball on them. I think Washington's going to go out there, quick game early, short to intermediate passes, try to get Texas to kind of move that second level up front towards the line of scrimmage, and then start taking those shots. I don't know why I feel so confident in Washington, but simply put, this is a field goal game. 4 points is too much. This is a field goal game. I think it comes down to maybe whoever has the ball last, but Washington is battle tested. And everybody just continues to doubt them. They are like what TCU was last year. I really do feel that. TCU, everybody kept saying they're going to lose, they're going to lose, they're going to lose. They show up in the Fiesta Bowl. They have that unbelievable shootout with Michigan. And then, of course, they got smoked by Georgia in the college football playoff national championship game. But look, Washington has the 11th ranked scoring offense in the country. Texas has the 16th ranked scoring offense in the country. I don't think Kalen DeBoer is going to go out there and try to establish the run game against the fourth ranked rushing defense in the nation. Yeah. I like Washington. I'm just putting that out there. Give me Washington.
Yeah, no, I like that. I hear it. Hey, those dudes up front, they're great stopping the run, but also too, they can transition and rush the passer as well. So I think that pocket will be a little bit more condensed, and something about playing quarterback too, when you have guys getting backed up into your face, edge rushers, no problem, man. You step up in the pocket, deliver the football, no big deal, man. When that interior of the pocket just keeps getting pushed and pressed and it's in your lap, man, that is no fun to operate as a quarterback. And I think he'll run into that this game.
You got some bullies on that interior D-line, collapse the pocket, and just wreak havoc. That's really what it comes down to. If those interior D-linemen can wreak havoc and sit those linemen down into your lap, Jake, that's not what quarterbacks like at all.
No, that's not a recipe for success as a quarterback, man.
No question about it. I think there's going to be fun games, though. They're going to be really fun games. The college football playoff, the last year, it's just four teams. Again, next year, the quarterfinals start December 20th. So we will already be into the semifinals, which is exciting. I think that's great. So can't wait to get there. And I also can't wait to get on my Prize Picks app throughout the holiday. It's the best. I get onto my iPhone. I pull up the Prize Picks app. I've already used the promo code PUN. They're so nice. They let me, who gives out the promo code, utilize the promo code. And when you use the promo code PUN, you deposit $100. They give you $100. Then all you have to do is look at the board. You can pick 2 to 6 players, project that they go more or less their Prize Picks projection, and you can win 25x your money. There are so many sports on this weekend. You have nothing to do. I promise you, you have nothing to do. Get on Prize Picks. Make some money. Prize Picks is the best daily fantasy game in the country. It's why it's the number one ranked app on the Apple App Store in the sports category. Shout out to Prize Picks, longtime sponsor of the Punt and Pass podcast. This was our college football playoff preview show. I know we kind of been scratching and clawing at finding things to talk about, but we talked about plenty tonight, Jake Fromm. So look, I probably won't talk to you until it's 2024. I wish you the best. It's been a brilliant 2023. I enjoy getting to know you, and you're a close friend and a confidant. And look, man, it's been a blast. I can't wait to talk to you on the other side, of course, in the year 2024.
Man, I could say the exact same. Man, I can't believe it's coming to an end. I look forward to 2024, though. But yeah, man, it's been good. It's been fun. Let's keep this thing going.
No question about it. Follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at Fromm Jake. PuntandPass.com. Mr. Fromm, anything on the way out, my friend?
Man, nothing. Can't wait. Sit down and watch some ball.
All right, let's do it. Have a blessed, happy New Year. Stay safe on New Year's Eve, everybody. And we will talk to you probably next Tuesday. See you.
Yeah.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.